Are you missing the sounds that matter most? What if you could hear every word, every laugh, and every moment crystal clear without spending thousands on expensive hearing aids? Introducing Audionatum, the world's most affordable FDA-approved hearing aid. With the revolutionary A2 chip, you get premium sound, zero background noise, and a 24-hour rechargeable battery. They even have Bluetooth connectivity to connect to your cell phone or TV. Unlike those traditional bulky $5,000 prescription hearing aids, the Audionatum is 90% smaller, 20 times cheaper, and works instantly. No visits to the audiologist needed. Audionatum has over 500,000 happy customers who have trusted Audionatum to restore their hearing. Our 100% money-back guarantee means zero risk to try. Don't like them? Simply return them and get your money back. They also come with a lifetime warranty. For the next 72 hours, the Audionatum is 53% off. Go to tryhearingaid.com right now to order your pair for only $99. Again, go to tryhearingaid.com to order your pair for only $99. Order now before it's too late, as these hearing aids have sold out over 10 times this year. With Audionatum, you can hear life again.
There are so many reasons why I got into teaching.
One of the best things is the light bulb moment.
When you see a pupil suddenly understand something, that's really, really special.
Every child is so full of potential, and the thing that makes me proudest to be a teacher is seeing them realise what they are capable of.
I don't think any other job can give you the same satisfaction.
That's why I chose to teach.
You could get £26,000 tax-free to train, search, apply to teach. Selected subjects only, subject to eligibility.
This Gamertag episode is brought to you by Gamefly. If you've ever wanted to try a game before you bought it, you should try Gamefly. It's the best way to buy and rent all your favorite games and movies. They're the leading video game rental service with over 9,000 titles to choose from. Just pick your favorite games and have them mailed straight to your door. Then keep them for as long as you want and never worry about late fees. Plus, you can cancel at any time. Visit Gamefly.com/gamertag to start your free 30-day trial today. That's Gamefly.com/gamertag.
Gamertag Radio presents E3 2016 coverage. Hosts Danny Pena, Paris Lilly, and Peter Toledo are direct from the convention center floor.
Here we go.
All right, E3 2016. I'm starting off my day two the right way. I am here to see Rise of Iron. Destiny, you know, the game that I'm always babbling about that people hate. But I went to the source. I got Deej. Deej, thank you for joining us to talk about this game.
I don't hate Destiny.
Oh, you love Destiny.
I love
Destiny.
That's
why we're here.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm a lucky guy. I get to work with people who make an amazing game that I love to play. It's a game I love to talk about. So thanks for stopping by to chat me up about it.
Yeah.
What absolutely. Can I tell you about the next expansion to Destiny?
Well, let me say this first. Our good friends over at Garden Radio,
yes.
I promised them that you were going to give me something good. So you can't let me down here because I'm going to go on their podcast after E3. So you got to give me something good.
Well, they're old friends. So certainly I'll try to pay that off for you.
So you had the Twitch reveal last week.
Yes.
And you gave away some concept stuff. But just for people that didn't get to see that, talk about Rise of Iron. What is this expansion we're going to get in September?
Yeah, well, Rise of Iron is worthy of the word expansion. You know, I mean, Destiny is still a rather young game, but I think we've set some good expectations for the ways in which we expand the story. We are telling a brand new tale of action and adventure. We're inviting every Guardian to become an Iron Lord in the tradition of Lord Saladin. So if you've been a competitor in the Iron Banner, or if you just wandered around in the tower when he pays his monthly visit for that ritual, you've seen this enigmatic figure in golden wolf-emblazoned armor standing in front of a flaming gong. I mean, it's this noble, interesting visage, and we're going to let people embrace that power. We're going to let people become an Iron Lord if they are brave, if they participate in this new adventure that we have that we're going to serve up for them later on this fall. September 20th is the official release date. Essentially, the Iron Lords were some of the first defenders of humanity. Before any of the Guardians who currently play Destiny were even born, it was the Iron Lords who looked out for humanity from atop their mountaintop fortress. Fellwinter Peak is actually going to be a social space. So we're going to, you know, move among, you know, the monuments of the Iron Lords, who all but one sacrificed themselves to contain an ancient evil, this technological plague that players will come to know as SIVA. Not all Golden Age technology is wondrous or even friendly. Some of it can be extremely damaging and ravenous and destructive. And the basic player fantasy is to join Lord Saladin, who has been training the Guardians as the lone survivor of the Iron Lords, in for the eventuality that this technological plague would reemerge and threaten humanity again. So champions of the Iron Lords, or hardcore raiders, or people who love the story, or even just people who have enjoyed playing Destiny and become powerful Guardians, are welcome to join that cause and to band together to sort of rally to that iron banner, quite literally, and go out on this new adventure and fight to destroy the source of the Siva power once and for all.
I just have to say, you're really good at your job. You tell a great just audio story, setting everything up. This is great.
Like, but I said, man, I'm a lucky guy. I actually get to manage a community that I adore, that plays a game that I love. So, I mean, this is a topic of conversation that comes very freely to me. So it's really nice that they build this, you know, fancy place at E3 for us to talk about this. But, you know, I would do this in my own game room, you know, over my headset.
Right, right.
So,
no. Again, now, just again, Rise of Iron. I know that you're going to have a long conversation about this over the summer, mm-hmm. so things mm-hmm. are going to come out. But is there anything you can give us additional about some of the new weapons and armor and things like that that are coming? Let's backtrack.
Sure.
With the April update, mm-hmm. you introduced a new infusion system, as well as the chroma. Things like that. Are we going to continue to see that going into Rise?
Well, I mean, we got delivered three new varieties of chroma just yesterday. So Guardians are already starting to sort of channel their inner light, green, orange, and magenta. So the live team is committed to making sure that there's always new and fresh avenues for creative expression. Destiny is a game that's fun to play. You shoot stuff, you blow stuff up, you defeat your enemies, you complete your missions. But at the same time, it's a game of creative expression. So there's an entire new arsenal of weapons. We'll unveil that and detail that out over the course of the summer. I'm sure, you know, people who scrutinize the trailer, you know, can pick out little hints about the different things that they're going to find. You know, you can look at the trailer and you can see, you know, Trials of Osiris gear sets. You can see gear sets that are fitting for an Iron Lord. You can see gear sets that, you know, sort of allude to, you know, the Siva virus and, you know, the new enemies that we'll be facing. So, you know, Destiny is a player experience that makes you feel like a badass, but also equips you with the things that are evidence of your exploits. You walk around the tower and you can just survey the people who are there with you. And at a glance, these different community members are a champion of the Crucible, a hardcore raider, you know, a person who has sworn fealty to a faction, you know, like Dead Orbit or New Monarchy or Future War Cult, you know, and these are the conversation starters. You can look at somebody and say, where on earth did you get that? Why do you look this awesome? And it's like, let me take you. And you can experience these activities with me. Let me carry you through my favorite way to play Destiny. That was the sort of promise that we made about this game, even when it was in its infancy, when we had revealed it and people had yet to play it. And I think on a long enough timeline, we've sort of delivered on that promise so that Guardians have things that they feel define them and things that they're very proud of. And Rise of Iron, as an expansion of the game, is absolutely going to pay that off for every sort of Guardian. No matter what they're into or what their favorite parts of the game are, they'll have new ways to acquire these things and upgrade these things. I mean, God, we're even bringing the Gjallarhorn back. So,
right. Talk about that a little more. What went into bringing that back?
Well, I mean, we wanted to restore the most iconic weapon in Destiny to, you know, relevant power levels again. You know, I mean, Rise of Iron is all about nobility and power and becoming a knight more than a soldier. And the Gjallarhorn just really fits into those themes. We wanted to give people something that would excite them because the theme of the game is sort of restoring an old legacy. You know, the Iron Lords mm-hmm. are, you know, these old venerable heroes, and we're going to honor their legacy, we're going to honor their memory, and sort of take their place. And the Gjallarhorn is a perfect metaphor for that, because it is the one thing in the game that people can really relate to. Like, remember the glory days when you got your Gjallarhorn, and used it to kill Atheon, and it's like, I never got a Gjallarhorn, and then I bought it when Xur sold it, and everybody told me I was a fake, I was a fraud, because I didn't earn it, you know, and it's like, all of those debates are irrelevant now, because you're not waiting for the dice to roll in your favor. You're not, you know, ashamed when you get your Gjallarhorn because you were the, like, least scoring person in a Crucible match, and it drops in your lap, and everyone on your fire team goes, you don't deserve that.
Right.
Everybody who gets a Gjallarhorn in Rise of Iron truly deserves it, because they forge it for themselves. It's the product of a quest. And this is one of the things that the team is doing to make Destiny a more rewarding experience, in a more predictable fashion. You can anticipate the things that you're going to earn if you participate in very specific types of action. So as part of this quest, as you're recovering these relics and these shards of armor from fallen heroes and using that to forge your own exotic rocket launcher, I think people are going to have a really cool sense of ownership about that. And everybody's going to have a cool story to tell about their Gjallarhorn instead of saying, it popped up at the end of a strike and I don't know why.
That brings up a thing since we're talking about Gjallarhorn, and I have you here, so I have to talk about this stuff. And Peter, please jump in when you can. But going back to year one, see, that was kind of the fundamental problem with Gjallarhorn in itself, in that it was the weapon that solved all problems.
Sure.
Whereas year two, I feel like you guys did a great job fixing that, because, you know, Touch of Malice is situational, Sleeper Simulant is situational.
Yeah.
There was never that quote-unquote god weapon that everyone demanded that you had on LFG, yeah, unless you were, yeah, killing orcs or something crazy like that.
Push button, kill boss.
Right. So going into Rise of Iron and you're bringing Gjallarhorn back, I'm sure this is something that you guys are very conscious of, that there needs to continue to be that balance, that yes, this is that god weapon from year one, but it's not going to be used the same way in year three.
Well, as a Bungie fan who got to go and work for Bungie and tell their story and talk to, you know, my fellow players of this game, I am still in awe of our sandbox team. You know, the guys who designed these weapons, the guys who balanced these subclasses, who have so many different ways to fight, so many different perks and tactics that they can embrace, so many different fighting styles and combat specialties that people can realize in this game. And the way that they make sure that, you know, to the best of our ability, that each of these classes and each of these perks is viable and has a valid reason for you to use them, that every weapon in the arsenal has its place in the sandbox, that every way that there is to fight has a logical counter in the form of someone else with their own combination of armor and weapons and perks. It's a thing that I can appreciate. It's a thing that I can talk about, but it's not a thing I understand.
Right.
And it's not a thing that, I mean, sometimes they'll stop by and they're like, here's what we're looking at and here's what we're dealing with. What do you think? And I'm like, whoa, guys, I will happily tell the community what decision you make. But just yesterday, with the June update, they took another pass. You know, they adjusted the way the hunters fight. They changed the way a lot of the different weapons behave. So, yeah. Gjallarhorn's coming back, you know, the big kid on the block is going to return to the arsenal to, you know, current levels of power. It's going to be relevant again. And this is a thing that they'll be looking at, you know, and there was an exotic weapons pass. The Gjallarhorn was slightly different as it sort of passed out of relevance at the end of the first year of Destiny. So we'll see how it behaves.
Any other weapons that may pass on from the first year of Destiny that are going to be brought up onto the new Rise of Iron?
Well, in keeping the original promise, the arsenal is definitely a thing we're going to delve into. So okay, we'll take a look at all the weapons and the armor that you're able to get. At the same time, you know, we do love for people to experience some things for themselves. You know, we do love to save some things. It's ironic. The content creators in our community, you know, the YouTubers, the Twitch streamers, you know, the professors who like to sort of espouse almost like at a master's level thesis about what the game is, will hound us for details all the way up to launch. You know, and they'll say, you need to tell us more about this game. And I'm like, you know what? I need to give you something you can discover for yourself. Because after the game launches, you're going to make videos that say, here is what I have discovered. Here is what I found. So it's this balance of giving people a reason to be excited to return to the world of Destiny, but at the same time, leave some things for them to discover on their own, because that's really one of the themes of the game. It's about recovering these lost relics. It's about discovering the treasures that are secreted away in these mysterious landscapes. So, I mean, the guns are cool. There's going to be a bunch of them. There's going to be exotics. There's going to be legendaries. And like I said, if you're a master detective and you've watched the trailer, there's some hints in there about some of the things that you might see. And I'm looking forward to having that conversation. It's going to be a long, hot summer full of reveals and additional information. We're going to work with a lot of people we like to help tell those stories. And, you know, E3 is just the beginning. You know, 5 days off the reveal that we shared with the community in a live event, really what we're doing is trying to capture their imaginations all over again with a new story to tell. And, you know, an invitation into the Plague Lands, which is a place they've never been, a place to go and explore and to make their own.
So, and I know we're probably going to wrap this up soon, but I have to ask this as well. So let me set it up this way. Last time we talked, we were just entering year two. It was before.
Yep.
So what I wanted, I'll start it this way. Year two has basically been, for Destiny for me, has been great because it's been the game that my son and I play together.
Oh, that's cool.
That's our game that we play together. He Absolutely loves it.
Yeah.
I've slowly indoctrinated him into doing the raids. He's gone through, you know, all the way from Vault of Glass through King's Fall, that type of stuff.
Yeah.
We've now, with the update to Prison of Elders, we've been doing that. You know, we run strikes all the time. Just Crucible, everything. And he's way better than me at the Crucible.
Of course. It's insane. I was just going to say, you teach him to walk and then you watch him fly, and it's like, here, I still am on the ground.
I mean,
he's got that young central nervous system, so whipcord reflexes.
But the funny thing, and I just have to say this, because with your live team, you put out the Crimson Doubles. I had kind of stopped playing Crucible, and my son was on me, come on, dad, we got to play. So then we start playing Crimson Doubles. Freaking fell in love with the Crucible because I'm playing with my son and I together, doing that whole thing, to the point now we want to do Trials of Osiris, just all that. It's been great. But my question to you is, year two, from your standpoint of the community, mm-hmm. I mean, what have you seen? What has been some of the lessons learned? What's been some of the feedback that you've gotten from the community regarding year two of Destiny as we now head into Rise of Iron?
That's a broad question.
Yeah.
You know, the community they want balance. You know, the community always has suggestions as to how the game can better perform for everyone. Sometimes that feedback is, make my favorite weapon more powerful so I can win.
Right.
Sometimes that feedback is, you know, very focused and very intelligent. You know, we're always studying the community. The things that they say is one data point. The things that they play is another data point. The great thing about Destiny is we're connected to every player of this game, and we can look at them from 30,000 feet, and we know which activities are most popular. We know which weapons are most popular. And if we find something that is sort of out of whack, if we find a weapon that everyone is equipping, if a new Gjallarhorn emerges where it's like, this is the only thing you should ever equip in the game, we won't make adjustments to invalidate that thing. But what we do is we lend validity to other things. And then, of course, the final data point is the experiences that we have as players. There are so many people at Bungie who are fans of their own game. You know, we've got dev kits set up. We have rooms where we test the game as while it's in development to make sure that it's fun, to make sure that it's a game that you want to share with other players. But we also just have retail consoles with clean internet connections, not encumbered by a firewall, because at lunch, you see people playing Strikes. You see people playing Trials of Osiris. You see people sometimes even gathering together in groups of six and raiding together. You know, people at Bungie play Destiny a lot. We have email conversations inside of our studio that are just as hard and just as critical, or, you know, just as enthusiastic as any of the things you would see on our forum or on Reddit or on NeoGAF or some secret clan forum that we haven't been invited to spy on. You know, so the things that we've learned from the community are vast. You know, we know what elements of the story they like the most. We know which destinations they like to explore the most. There has been a lot of conversation in certain circles about the lore of Lord Saladin. You know, who is this guy with the wolves on his armor who stands in front of a flaming altar? You know, why does he get to preside over the most competitive experience in the Crucible? And why should I care? And why is he making us fight? And now we get to pay off all of those curiosities and take this ritual that has, you know, involved so many guardians and pay it off and say, let's introduce you to this guy. Let's let you understand his backstory and the tragedies that he's faced. And let's have you enlist with him to help make that right and to restore order to the world that we call our home.
Okay, one last one.
Yep.
I'm a lost guardian now. I was drinking the juice. I was okay. A devout follower.
Sure.
All the way up until the Taken King. Lost my way. I'll admit it. I've gone to other pastures.
Yeah.
With Rise of Iron now, I am actually intrigued. I'm starting to get the little light starting, you know, my ghost is starting to sputter to life again. Give me a reason to go all in again into Destiny.
Well, we're telling you a brand new story. We're sending you to a place you've never been before. You know, Destiny isn't about being a soldier. It's about being a knight. You know, it's about, you know, honor. It's about creating a badass, you know, in the universe with polished armor and flowing capes, you know, and if that captures your imagination, we've got more of that. No matter what you like about Destiny, if you like the story, if you like the competition, if you like the problem solving and the tactical teamwork of a raid, we're paying off every single thing across the entire player spectrum. If you just want to explore, there's new public events, there's new patrols. I mean, you tell me, what's your favorite thing about Destiny?
the raids and the camaraderie. I mean, we had a hashtag going around called Destiny Wives Problems.
Yeah, sure.
That's part of our group,
sure.
Right? It's like our wives hate us because we spend, you know, Tuesday through Thursday trying to figure out our path and trying to get through the raid. My follow-up question is, I know with from year one to taking King, you gave Guardians who were starting up a fresh role a way to jump up.
Yep.
Are you guys providing another jump up to get players?
I don't have an announcement to make about that. I don't know if we're doing that or not. The investment systems and the ways your character progress are things that get fine-tuned right up to the last moment when we rip that out of their hands and we, you know, ship it. So those are conversations that we'll have in greater detail over the course of the summer. What I can tell you is, I mean, as we all know, there is a new raid, and we are sending you back into an enemy stronghold to confront the enemy on their own ground and destroy the source of their power once and for all, we hope, of course, right? So, you know, get your band back together, you know, because you're going to have a new reason to go in and solve that problem with them and face those mysteries and unravel those puzzles. I don't say anything about the raids. You know, I basically, you know, pitch the essential player experience, but I don't give people any hints because so many people in our community, their favorite stories about the raids are when we figured out why we were dying and then started figuring out a way to make the enemy die. You know, that's what makes the players feel powerful. In terms of being a lost guardian or, you know, like losing your way, I mean, this isn't, you know, this isn't something that you have to. Our goal is not to capture you in the world of Destiny and never let you leave. There are people who play the game that way, and we will do everything we can to satisfy that lifestyle. But we play lots of different games at Bungie. You know, people at Bungie experience different games for different reasons. We understand why different games are great in their own way. We learn from them. It changes the way we think about developing our own games. I think you can look at Destiny and you could probably make a lot of assumptions about the things that people at Bungie like to play or the games that they were playing when they grew up or as they started thinking about, I would love to make games like this. So by all means, experience other things. And it's our challenge to give you reasons to come back, you know, and to have Lord Saladin, you know, emerge bathed in, you know, the light of his campfire and his flaming axe. And it's like, that's the guy I want to follow back into combat. That's the reason that I've been looking for to come back to the world of Destiny and start exploring new things with my friends again. So that's our challenge, you know, and we're going to try to pay that off for you. But at the same time, if you tell me that, you know, you've taken Overwatch or Call of Duty or something else like that for a spin, more power to you, you know, but we're going to win you back. Because our game is badass and it's tons of fun and you want to be shiny and wear that Iron Banner gear. So here you go.
Well, I have to say, as we wrap this up now, just touching on the raid again, to me, and we were just having this conversation last night in another podcast wrapping up the day, that the raid, that 6-player co-op experience is just one of the greatest things I've ever had in a video game. And I think that's part of the reason I keep coming back to this game is for the raids. But going on the point he was saying about the hashtag Destiny wife problems, because that is real, we do it all the time, is my wife, even now that my son is in the fold as well, we'll have conversations at the kitchen table. It's like, yeah, working on my Voidwalker build, and I need to get this armor, and, you know, I'm trying to go, you know, do all this stuff. And my wife is like, what are you talking about? I don't understand this language you're teaching my son. And I'm just like, hey, it's the game that we play, and it's the game we love to play. But as we're wrapping this up, Deej, again, thank you for taking the time to talk to us about this game. I really hope we can have this conversation again right before Rise of Iron comes out. And
right before, right after, during. Yeah. You know, pleasure's all mine, guys. Thanks for stopping by to our little corner of E3. And like I said, this is my favorite topic of conversation, so whenever you're good to have it, I'm around.
All right. Well, thank you.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Are you missing the sounds that matter most? What if you could hear every word, every laugh, and every moment crystal clear without spending thousands on expensive hearing aids. Introducing Audionatum, the world's most affordable FDA-approved hearing aid. With the revolutionary A2 chip, you get premium sound, zero background noise, and a 24-hour rechargeable battery. They even have Bluetooth connectivity to connect to your cell phone or TV. Unlike those traditional bulky $5,000 prescription hearing aids, the Audionatum is 90% smaller, 20 times cheaper, and works instantly. No visits to the audiologist needed. Audionatum has over 500,000 happy customers who have trusted Audionatum to restore their hearing. Our 100% money-back guarantee means zero risk to try. Don't like them? Simply return them and get your money back. They also come with a lifetime warranty. For the next 72 hours, the Audionatum is 53% off. Go to tryhearingaid.com right now to order your pair for only $99. Again, go to tryhearingaid.com to order your pair for only $99. Order now before it's too late, as these hearing aids have sold out over 10 times this year. With Audionatum, you can hear life again.